Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, our third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of Saturday, May 12th, 2012. I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'm sitting in my home away from home, the broadcast studios of AM 1380 WLRM Radio, where we're broadcasting live to the greater Memphis, Tennessee area, also going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Again, a tip of the hat to our friend, our brother, Keith Alexander, for bouncing back so quickly and making the decision to come and be among friends and family during one of the darkest weeks of his life. And as you heard Keith say, this whole ordeal with the unexpected and untimely passing of his wife last Saturday made Keith take stock on his own mortality. And nothing is guaranteed to us. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to us. And as such, he has made the conscious decision to redouble his efforts. And now you'll be getting more Keith Alexander. He'll be staying for, on some weeks, the entire program now. As tonight, he stayed for 2 hours instead of his normal one. And so that is one blessing I think we can all take from this tragic ordeal. And again, we'll be all the better for it. And Keith Alexander, certainly a hero. So many people love him and have come to respect his work on this show. Certainly we do. And, you know, he's done it the right way. He was a hero at home first, a good husband, a good father, a good man, a good friend. I mean, that's what heroism is to me. I mean, we can all accomplish, and I've made mention of this at my speech at the American Renaissance Conference a couple of months ago. We can't all be Jefferson Davis. We can't all be Robert E. Lee. But we can all be heroes in our local communities, and of course, it all starts at home. And Keith has been an honorable man there and a hero there, and he extends that heroism and his efforts to us here as he fights to advance our issues in the court of public opinion through this radio program. And ladies and gentlemen, if you support the work of this show, if you appreciate the work of this show, we ask you to support it through your prayers, through your thoughtful notes, and when the occasion warrants, through your financial contributions too, because it does cost money to keep this show on the air. And we'll be launching our second quarter fundraising drive in another week or two, and I'm going to give you a good incentive to donate when the time comes. And the donation will not only benefit our radio program, but a percentage of that will also go back to the network itself. So you're going to be helping everybody with that donation. If you want to get a head start on that, you can go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight and make a safe and secure contribution. Do it in Keith's honor. You know, I don't think he'd be offended in me saying that. You know, a lot of people asked about sending flowers. If you appreciate and respect the work that Keith Alexander has done, make a donation in his name. And in fact, he mentioned that to me on the way down to the parking lot just a moment ago. And we were talking about the finances of the show and this, that, and the other, and some other housekeeping matters. And I think you would appreciate that. And I think that's where he would want it to go. Anyway, we got a lot of news to cover this hour. It's been a great couple of hours already, as it always is when we're together on Saturday nights. But I want to cover some rapid news, and I'm going to turn it over to Eddie, and Eddie's going to hold court here with you. Eddie the Bombardier Miller now back with me. He opened the show for the first half hour, then Keith came in. And Eddie's going to be with me this hour. But I'm going to cover a few random news stories, then we're going to turn the floor over to Eddie. UN officials say that Mount Rushmore should be returned to the Native American tribes, its rightful owners, they say, the so-called indigenous population. When I read that headline, I thought it was some sort of a joke, a practical prank or something. But apparently, an expert, and you know it would have to be an expert, and this guy is some sort of an American Indian derivative. And he says that the four granite faces of the American presidents of Mount Rushmore could be on land that is returned to native tribes if his recommendations from a United Nations commission come to pass. He says that some of the Native American tribal lands, the so-called Native Americans, I should add, should be restored, including the Black Hills of South Dakota, home to Mount Rushmore. The guy's name who wrote this for the UN Special Commission, James Anaya, he has a title. He works in the Office of the Rights of Indigenous People, Of course, see, whites are indigenous to nowhere, apparently. We never have these rights. We came from nowhere. But he's sending this memorandum, this briefing, to this new organization that Obama came up with, Eddie. And, it's called the U.S. Compliance Office for the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Anyway, well, to cut to the chase, I mean, frankly, if I can be frank, I wouldn't much care if the Sioux did get to reclaim Mount Rushmore, just so long as they promised to blast Abraham Lincoln's face off the side of the mountain. And if they did that, I wouldn't have a problem with it going back. But at least Stone Mountain, one of Georgia's most visited and beloved tourist destinations, isn't at risk of going anywhere. And if people don't know about Stone Mountain, it's equally, at least equally as impressive as the more famous Mount Rushmore. It's one of the most popular draws in Georgia, as I mentioned, and it's a Confederate memorial carving. It graces the side of Stone Mountain, and there we have a picture of it at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and of course I've been to Stone Mountain. It features Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson sit astride their favorite horses in the largest relief sculpture in the world. It was completed in 1972. Surprises some people to know that in 1972 you could still do stuff like this. Several sculptors contributed to the creation of Stone Mountain, including Gutzon Borglum, who went on to sculpt Mount Rushmore. The carving is recessed 42 feet into the stone, 400 feet above the ground, and measures 90 feet tall by 190 feet wide. The deepest part of the carving is 12 feet deep below Lee's elbow. And again, what this is a Confederate memorial carving. And this huge, hence the name, Stone Mountain. And it's one of Georgia's most popular tourist attractions. So, again, the more things change, the more things stay the same. People still fundamentally agree with us on certain issues. I'm not the people at Taco Bell, KFC, and Pizza Hut. This fine trio of eating establishment, Eddie, is proud of their diverse workforce. They bragged recently that only 35% of their employees are white. And they're not ashamed to trumpet that. Far and wide, even though whites still represent 60-70% of the population, they're only 35% there. And seeing that's diverse. And seeing this is the point. This is what they say. In our company-owned operations in the U.S., for example, 35% of our associates are Caucasian. The remaining 65% are Hispanic, African-American, and or Asian. In 2010, minorities and women made up 63% of the management hires and 56% of the promotions. And it goes on to say that they're striving towards increasing these numbers because through a diverse workforce, their employees can come to more logical conclusions and they just operate better. And as we've seen, you know, everywhere like Detroit, I mean, diversity obviously makes the place better. In other words, whites need not apply. But see, this is affirmative action at full throttle. With white workers making up only a third of the workforce, KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, they're all combined into the Yum brand. They're sister properties. 35% of the workforce is white. This group of restaurants is fast on its way to becoming as diverse as the NBA, where it's
don't go away,
nary a white. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Quickly covering some more random news in a rapid fire type presentation before turning it over to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Did you know that Shaquille O'Neal, the famous NBA player, is now Dr. Shaquille O'Neal? And I'm telling you, he didn't just get awarded an honorary doctorate like they throw at some celebrities. A small university near Miami says that this guy actually went to school for 4 years and earned his doctorate. Doctorate, not just a degree. If he did, God bless him, congratulations. But if Shaquille O'Neal, and I've been a basketball fan. I played basketball in high school, and so I've watched basketball over the years. And I know Shaquille O'Neal. And in watching him in interviews, if you could sum up Shaq in two words, functionally illiterate would be the two that would best describe him. I mean, listening to him and Charles Barkley maul the English language on television during every time they get on it, it makes me wince. It's embarrassing. But Shaq, you know, he even went worse than Barkley. He was making a point during an interview one time, and he was saying something along the lines of, "This guy can't guard me, period." And then he tried to spell the word period, and he continually messed up the spelling of P-E-R-I-O-D. He couldn't spell it. Over and over, he tried to spell it, and then he just gave up. Couldn't even spell the word period during an interview. And you can say, oh, well, that was just the spur of the moment, whatever. No, watch him talk. He's functionally illiterate. But intelligence be damned, he was awarded a doctoral degree. I guess anybody could be a doctor these days, but you got to go and watch this video we got here. It's on the blog entry entitled Dr. Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah, they said he had like a 4.0 GPA. Incredible. 54 credit hours. I mean, come on. He was in the NBA until last year. I mean, when did he have time to go to school? But anyway, you watch this video we've got of him. And it's got the newly minted Dr. Shaq rapping, during which he calls himself the N-word. He calls himself this during his own rap. And he repeatedly, and I'm talking about a dozen times, encourages his teammates to, quote, tell me how my expletive tastes. You'll have to go to the website to know what expletive it's using, because this is a family show. But that's what a doctor is in this day and age. I mean, you know, we went from... you know, doctors you used to think of, people with, brainy little glasses and well-spoken and articulate and accomplished in whatever field that they received their doctorate in. And then now you got Shaquille O'Neal. Also on the website this week, the alleged Secret Service escort kisses and tells, and it's a salacious story. She was on the Today Show. Leave it to the American media to portray this prostitute as the victim, and it somehow devolved. I mean, she was on to talk about how stupid the Secret Service agents were, and well, you just got to watch it. It's just a tell-all type deal, but they turned it into, oh yeah, you know, those Secret Service agents were bad because this is really a women's right issue, and you're a single mother, and you're a good mother, and you're just out working for a living, and I mean, it's almost that bad. It's almost that bad. So, yeah, she's a prostitute, but she's a hero because she was taken advantage of, and she's a single mother, and she's good. No, she's a prostitute. You know, that's what she is. But we got that story in that interview there. I tell you, it just never ceases to amaze me, the things that you see on a daily basis. Oh, here's another one. In South Africa, I'm going to let Eddie take a look at this girl's picture in a second. An 18-year-old model... in South Africa, was fired by FHM. You know FHM magazine here in the States? This was the South African version. It's kind of like Maxim magazine. It's a guy magazine. Not a nude magazine, but lots of bikini-clad girls and stuff about sports and relationships and sex and things like that. So, anyway, this, according to her, according to this 18-year-old young lady, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, from South Africa, she was sexually harassed by a black guy at a grocery store in South Africa. In South Africa, they don't call them, and again, we don't use this language here, and we don't encourage anyone to do it, but they don't, it's not the N-word over there. They have another word for it. It's called the K-word, and anyway, you can find out what that's all about at the website. But anyway, she called this guy the K-word after he allegedly sexually harassed her. Now, he didn't rape her, but he was making untowards comments and suggestive behavior, just bothering her, being a nuisance, being very sexually inappropriate, even though he didn't, you know, again, short of physical harassment. Yeah, if he'd had the opportunity, maybe he would have. But anyway, so this happens. She calls him a racial epithet in the heat of the moment, and she is fired from her magazine because they say in South Africa, you know, diversity is our greatest strength in South Africa. Can you believe this? They say, you know, we can't have women like this, even though she was, you know, being sexually harassed. You can't say this even in the heat of the moment. And again, yeah, I mean, she shouldn't have said it, but who is more in the wrong here? A guy who's sexually harassing someone or a girl, an 18-year-old young woman who uses an intemperate word in the heat of the moment? But she's fired, and then not only that, they make this guy out to be the hero. You know, it's this kind of stuff that's causing bad race relations in South Africa. It's not the fact that you've got all these blacks over here who are using machetes to literally hatchet and murder the white farmers there, but it's people like this 18-year-old young girl who are really stinking up the pot over there with regards to race relations. And there's a little black and white picture of her on our website. If you want to go take a look at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And again, I'm going through I'm kind of scrolling through the website here, going through these stories as quickly as I can. This is the second time, 2 weeks in a row, we've got pictures of models on the site. You know, last week we were talking about the scientifically perfect face, the waitress in Great Britain. And now we got this, I guess you'd have to call her a bigot to be politically correct, right? Because that's what they're calling her. But. Don't forget, again, and this will be my final time to remind you of this. I think by now everybody should have caught on. We've sent it out to the email list. We've sent it out to the blog and mentioned it on the show a couple of times. The Political Cesspool broadcast archives are now completely restored, bigger, faster, and better than ever before. They're available and waiting for you. And tonight's show will be available in the broadcast archives a few hours, perhaps after the end of the show, certainly by tomorrow morning. Sam and the crew at the network in Utah always do a great job of getting them right up right away. But they're there, and they can facilitate the increasing traffic load and all that good stuff. So the broadcast archives are completely restored, but you may have to update your link because we have changed links on you. So there you have it. Just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and go to the archives page, and you can You can see it for yourself. The SPLC catching some heat this week. This is an organization, as you know, that has over $150 million in portfolio assets, but it says it doesn't have the resources needed to track legitimate, hateful, or violent groups, such as those who manifest themselves on the left. And much more often than not, when people do take the law into their own hands or are guilty of vigilantism, they are leftists. They're Black Panthers. They're environmental wacko terrorists. But rather than going after the left-wing violent groups, apparently they will continue to monitor and track everything people like me and James Dobson and Chuck Baldwin and Sam Bushman say on the radio. We have all been added to their hate group long time ago. But they have the, you know, they can follow decent Christian tax-paying working men with families. You know, these are the enemies: people who vote for Ron Paul, people who go to church, people who doesn't think that sodomite marriage is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, these are the hate groups, not people like these five men who were affiliated with the Occupy Wall Street, who set out to blow up a bridge. You know, they were contacted by a reporter and said, you know, is this group on your hate watch list? Do you have any plans to begin tracking this group who was caught with explosive devices? And they said, no, we really just don't have the resources. We're not set up to cover the left. Well, they're not set up to cover the left. They're not set up to cover the left because they are the left and they love the left. We've got to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, lighthouseliterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever
do. Back, we're rounding the corner and heading into the home stretch of what's been a... well, as they always are, a very busy show. The highlight, of course, of tonight's show was Keith Alexander's return to the show, to the program. What a guy. I mean, what an example he sets for all of us, coming back so quickly, bouncing back, and continuing to do his duty. As Robert E. Lee said, duty is the sublimest word in the English language. You should never wish to do more. You can never do less. You should never wish to do less. You can never do more. Something along those lines, the old Gray Fox said. Keith Alexander doing his duty tonight, as we all are. Eddie the Bombardier Miller in with me now, and I know Eddie has a book full of notes here he's been taking. Eddie was with us for the opening 30 minutes of the program, and he's here now for the final 30 minutes as well. Eddie, over to you.
Well, I got a few notes. And, I'd like to chime in with the Gray Fox, with Robert E. Lee. He said, we got to remember the duty to who. We got to remember who our duty lies to, is to God and country and to our own people. Not this all altruistic, egalitarian stuff. We need to keep loyal to ourselves. I just like to, if I could, James, to try to distill a few points down that Keith mentioned earlier. Talking about politics and how the liberals, the left wing, are trying to circumvent the legislative branch and the executive branch by going through the courts. They found out, you mentioned that in Brown versus Board in 1954, that the left, although they could not get this forced integration through, through the legislative branch, they went through the courts and ruled that way. And as Keith pointed out, really it was totally illegal, unconstitutional. Another thing I'd like to point out is that something that I think that a lot of people may know, but they don't, but I think a lot of people don't. The Congress, if we had a Congress that was really, honest and legitimate, and they really cared about this country, and they weren't bought off, which the Congress could nip this nonsense in the bud in just in one day, because see what they can do is they can pass legislation that, and they can attach a rider to a piece of legislation that they've passed, stipulating that it's non-reviewable by the courts. That's right. That's right. You can pass legislation that's passed, and it prevents it from being able to go to the courts for review, and that way the courts could not strike things down that we passed, the will of the people. But see, the reason the Congress isn't going to do that, people, is something I've known for years. You see, they're all bought off. I mean, just 90% of them are bought off. And I'll tell you something else. To prove it, you can go and look. You can do the work yourself. You can research and see where they get their contributions from. Every one of them, right down from the top to the bottom, from the legislative branch to the executive branch, they all get the same monetary support from people like Goldman Sachs. The largest contributor to the Obama campaign was Goldman Sachs. When McCain was running in the race, Senator McCain, who's supposed to be a Republican and a conservative, which, that makes me want to laugh, he's not. McCain, his largest contribution, his largest financial contributors also came from Goldman Sachs, just like the same people who was the largest contributors to Obama. So, the liberal, the elite, the global elite, they know, they own both parties. And that's right down to the congressman. It's right down to even to the state house. We had a fellow at the Jim Tucker meeting about 2 weeks ago, he's just a state rep, and he's talking about how much that the world elite has got the state of Tennessee, how much they have got their tentacles wrapped around the state legislature, blackmailing them with money, holding their feet to the fire. So what I think is going to come down to, I'm going to add this point too. The point, what they're working towards with working through the United States Supreme Court, they're working toward a de facto taking over of the Constitution through the United Nations. the Supreme Court has already, to prove my point, and I'm sure most of the people in the audience are aware that the Supreme Court has already come out and made this state, they've already stated that they do not go by the Constitution of the United States anymore. They don't take that, they don't give that as heavy a weight in their rulings as they do to the United Nations Court, to the World Court, international law. That's how they, that's what they use to go by, to, you know, when they pass their rulings. You know, several of the justices have said that. So, in effect, and like I pointed out a minute ago, the Congress doesn't have the, they don't have the will to you know, retake the power back and rule. And hey, as another piece of evidence to that effect, the Leon Panetta, you know, the Secretary of Defense, along with that four-star Air Force general, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said, what was it, about 3 weeks ago, when we talked, we covered some of them on this station, that they too, folks, take their, this is the Secretary of Defense and the highest ranking military officer in the United States. They said that they no longer take their marching orders from the Congress. They take their marching orders from the United Nations and from NATO. So these people, that's, I mean, I don't know how much clearer you need to be, you know, an example that you need to prove we no longer have a representational government in this country. We hadn't have, God, since, well, even FDR admitted it. Even FDR admitted it to Colonel House, the fellow that lived in the White House, who he was also Colonel House, you know, the advisor to President Wilson. He hung on after Wilson was left and FDR came in. You know, in a letter that FDR wrote to Colonel House, he said, my dear Colonel, he said, you know as well as I do that ever since the absence of Andrew Jackson from the White House, that the banks have run everything. You know, that we make no decision without the banks. You know, President William Clinton, Bill Clinton said that. He said by the time you get to be president, he said what you have is you have a virtual president. He said, you have virtual senators, virtual popes. You have people, by the time you get to be elected in office, you got these other people making all the decisions. And these other people are the same power elite. They're the international bankers, the international heads of the pharmaceutical companies. You know, like General Eisenhower said in his farewell speech when he warned people to, he said, beware of the military-industrial complex. Well, since that time, you know, I've become aware and that it's no longer just a military-industrial complex. It's become the military-industrial, pharmaceutical, and big farm complex, people like Monsanto, you know, the same people that are running the small-time farmers out of business. So, and people, I'm not just going to complain about this. I'm going to tell you the solution. The solution to this problem here that I've told you about, with us being having our own country usurped from us and taken away from us, is we're going to have to ignore the rulings of the Supreme Court. We're going to have to ignore illegal legislation. You know, Thomas Jefferson, you know, talked about that in the big famous ruling. It said, and I forget the name of the ruling right now, but it'll come to me in a minute. But the ruling said that in all cases, and any legislation that's passed by the Congress, if it's repugnant to the Constitution, it's not law. It's dead on arrival. It's like it never existed. So what we have to do, we're going to have to ignore the Supreme Court, just like Andrew Jackson did. When the Supreme Court ruled against Andrew Jackson, when he's wanting to ship the Indians out west, and the Supreme Court said he couldn't do that, he said that, well, the Supreme Court made the ruling, let them enforce it. He ignored it. We're going to have to ignore the Supreme Court. We're going to have to ignore Washington, D.C., and we're going to have to fall back on the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States that says that, to paraphrase it, the 10th Amendment says that those powers not delegated to the United States are reserved to the states or the people thereof. So, you know, we have to have a good state house that will stand up for states' rights. And probably the state houses are not going to do that. So people, in the end, you know what? James, all the people in this listening audience, we're not going to have any more rights than what we're willing to stand up and fight for. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Any freedom, any right that's not defended is a right lost. So in the end, it gets down to us people. We're going to have to ignore these illicit laws, and we're going to kick these people out. We have to resist. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, my little brother.
Well, Eddie, I appreciate your impassioned commentary. Some very good points made. And, of course, yeah, we should resist in every possible way we can. Legally possible, legally being the key word there. Of course, we're not advocating or insinuating that people, rise up and bear arms against the government. I mean, certainly practice your Second Amendment rights, but we're not calling for an insurrection, obviously, or anything of the sort. But, a lot of which Eddie said, I certainly find myself in agreement. We got to take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. There's a better life for me.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
America has lost her way, lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked. As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up, America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. The Bombardier Eddie Miller and I are having a riveting conversation here during the commercial break. He's really on fire right now. We got to get to Peter Scoop Stanton, but first, another caller who's been patiently waiting. Carl in California, you're on the line. Carl, take it away.
What Eddie Miller is saying is absolutely correct. As far as Barack Obama, where does he take his orders from? He takes his orders from the Wall Street insiders. And the same is true of John McCain. And it is also true of this man, Mitt Romney, who everyone seems to be so enthusiastic about now because he opposes gay marriage. Mitt Romney was a former hedge fund manager on Wall right. Street, and he is an absolute scumbag. He and John McCain and Barack Obama and all of these insiders, they simply go to work each day and ask themselves one question. What can I do for the Jews? What can I do for the people who, the Goldman Sachs, who gave me so much money? What favors can I do for them today? So this whole thing about an earlier caller mentioned this, all of this hoopla about how everyone is so happy. I really think some of these Southern people, as much as I love them, and I know, James Edwards, that you stick up for your Southern heritage, but so many of these Southern people today have this stupid patriotism where they just think that, you know, at the end of the day, who cares whether a couple of homosexuals can get married or not? I really don't care. The homos are out there, and they're doing whatever they do. If they want to get married, who cares? I really don't. It doesn't matter to me. But what happens is this guy like Mitt Romney comes in. Oh, everyone's so, I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney because he doesn't like gays to get married. And then when he's elected, and I honestly do think that he will be elected our next president, and when he's elected, the first thing he will do is say, let's bomb Iran. Start another war.
Listen, my friend, I agree with everything you're saying right here. Another outstanding call and great scintillating commentaries. I mean, there's no doubt about it. As Pat Buchanan said, both wings of the Republican and Democratic duopoly, they're just wings of the same vulture. They're both danced to the strings of the same puppet master when you're talking about... I mean, look at how horrible the Republican candidates have been in recent years. The Republican nominees for president. Mitt Romney, John McCain, Bob Dole. You know, it almost looks as though they're trying to throw it. And in some cases, maybe they are. Will Mitt Romney win this one? I don't know. I agree with you on another thing. Also, if he does get in, yes, it's going to be he's going to go in to ratchet up the war, the so-called war occupation, whatever you want to call it, in the Middle East. Romney will certainly do that. He's been the beneficiary of Barack Obama coming out so obtusely on this homosexual marriage issue. I mean, I certainly don't trust Romney to safeguard our interests on anything, including this social issue that so many people are excited about. Now, I agree with you on another thing. This would be the third thing I agree with you on. Homosexual marriage, it's abhorrent, it's disgusting, it goes against nature. Is it one of the most important issues? Absolutely not. There are many issues, foreign policy, trade, immigration, you could name many more that are more important than this. The reason we have taken such a fancy to this issue tonight is, and why we spent so much time talking about it, is related to the Supreme Court and how the left always circumvents the will of the people. And this issue with homosexuality is this, the latest of which proves our point. If Obama is reelected, and sooner or later it'll happen inevitably, no matter what happens in 2012, they'll probably overrule the will of the people through the Supreme Court on this issue, and that is why this issue... Now, granted, it is an issue worth talking about. It's not one of the most important issues, but it is still an issue that we will, you know, certainly share our opinions on. But anyway, Carl in California, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for calling and sharing with the audience your fine viewpoints. That being said, for the last few minutes here, I'd like to welcome back Peter Scoop Stanton, who has called in. Peter Scoop, what's on your table tonight, my friend?
Good evening, James. Good evening, Bombardier, and good evening, Festival family. James, you know, last week, myself and Mrs. Stanton were taken ill eating at a restaurant in the District of Columbia. And I tried contacting the District of Columbia Health Department to file a complaint, and I tried to do it online. I could not do it online because of the district's computer system, not my terminal. So then, pardon me, excuse me, I try to make calling the old-fashioned way, using a rotary dial phone, and I got transferred one person to another, and I was playing phone tag, and finally I was able to contact somebody and let them know about the particular restaurant by Judiciary Square. But Washington being Washington, we should raise the victory flag because in the copy of the Washington Blade of May 4th, 2012, Mayor Vincent Gray has nominated transgender activist Erlene Budd and Alexandria Brandida for seats on the D.C. Commission on Human Rights.
You know,
so,
and this is...
Which, in layman's terms, the mayor nominated two people, born a man, dressed up as women. I don't know if they had the surgery or not, but on the Human Rights Commission. So,
now this,
God bless you. Go ahead.
Well, God bless you, Pete. But, listen, this is another reason, again, it might not be one of the most important issues. It is a social issue. But this is another reason why I want to speak out against this kind of stuff is because, by God, the people have let their voices be heard. They don't go for this so-called transgendered culture, this homosexual, sodomite, lesbian culture. This isn't something that even as Pat Buchanan calls us, this decaying post-Christian America that we're rapidly hurtling toward, a new era of secular humanism. We're still not even ready for this. But they, the media and the government, is hell-bent on cramming this down our throat. If they're going to be so hell-bent on doing it, we're going to speak out against it because somebody has to. And so, again, we spent a lot of time doing that tonight. Another issue, and I know we're running out of time, and Pete, there's never enough time. You can chime in on this, too. This issue, we could talk an hour about this. Sam Bushman mentioned it on his show and covered it in far greater detail than we're going to have the chance to do it tonight. We'll have to revisit this next week. But Sheriff Joe Arpaio, have you heard about this scoop? He is facing a Justice Department lawsuit over alleged civil rights violations. First of all, how can illegal aliens be afforded so-called civil rights under American law? America is facing illegal alien invasion, primarily stemming from those breaking into our country from Mexico. Now, based upon the facts, if you were a sheriff of a county near the border, you'd figure that folks who look like Mexicans might be suspicious. You'd want to go check them out, make sure they have the proper ID and documentation. Being able to apply this God-given common sense should be an attribute. Right? Well, not in Obama's America. Not in Eric Holder's America. No, this kind of behavior, the courageous Joe Arpaio, no, it gets you sued by the Obama administration. This is one of the most infuriating stories I've ever read. Federal authorities said Wednesday they plan to sue Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his office over allegations of civil rights violations, including the racial profiling of Latinos. If I got pulled over by a cop and they just wanted to make sure I was who I say I am, I have no problem whatsoever showing them my ID. Every time I get on an airplane, I show people my ID. That's why I've got it. Why would you have a problem with that unless you're breaking the law to begin with? You got this so-called Latino, Hispanic, mestizo, whatever he is. His name is U.S. Attorney General Thomas Perez. And he has the DOJ Civil Rights Division, obviously, he would. And he noted it's been more than 100 days since the sheriff's office received the DOJ's findings. And the civil rights allegations have led others, including La Raza. And La Raza, according to the story, Eddie and Pete, is a advocacy group for Latinos. Now, we're a hate group because we advocate for whites, but they're just an advocacy group for Latino, even though they want to reconquer the Southwest for Mexico by any means necessary. But anyway, guys, I'll turn it back over to you. There you have it. A sheriff actually has the guts to enforce our border laws, and he gets a civil rights lawsuit thrown down his throat by a guy named Perez and a guy named Obama and a guy named Eric Holder. Now, Sam Dixon once told me, and he said, this isn't our government anymore, James. It's theirs. And... stories like this make me believe him. Joe Arpaio should be getting praised by any decent president. But then again, we haven't had a decent president in a long time. Eddie, quickly to you, and then we'll give Pete the final word, 30 seconds to each.
And I'll tell you why it's no longer our government. It's because we, the people, allow this to happen, James. What the Sheriff Joe should do is tell the feds to go straight to hell, because I'll bring it right back again. Article 10 of the Constitution says that the powers not delegated to the states are reserved to the people in the states thereof. He should just tell them, I'm ignoring you, and if you come down here and harass me, you will be arrested. I'm following the Constitution of the United States. That's what Sheriff Max said.
Well, unfortunately, the music's coming up, and I wanted Eddie to have more time. And Pete, God knows I wanted you to have more time. I guess you can have 5 seconds to say goodnight if you'd like.
Good night, everybody. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yes, absolutely. God bless you to all our mothers out there. Thank you, Scoop, for bringing that to our attention. We'll give you 2 segments next week, buddy. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I'm James Edwards on behalf of everybody here in Memphis and at the network in Utah. We love you. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to you, Mom.